Ladies and gentlemen, this meeting will now come to order. At this time, we will have some important announcements provided by our security manager and the city clerk. Dr. Wimborne. Okay.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. My name is Dr. Wimborne. I'm the city security manager, and I just want to go over the rules that govern council chambers.
Buenas noches. Soy el Dr. Wimborne y soy el director de seguridad de la ciudad de Richmond. Quiero tomar este momento para hablar algunas reglas que rigen a la conducta en la sala durante la audiencia del consejo.
There should be absolutely no food of any kind inside council chambers. Water is the only liquid that's allowed.
No se permite absolutamente ningún tipo de comida dentro de la sala del consejo y el agua es el único líquido permitido.
The men's restroom is out the left rear entrance of the council chambers. The women's restroom is out the right rear of council chambers.
El baño de hombres está fuera de la entrada izquierda de la sala del consejo y el baño de las mujeres está fuera en la entrada derecha de la sala del consejo.
When exiting council chambers, please use the left entrance that takes you to the escalators back downstairs.
Para salir de la sala del consejo, utilicen la entrada izquierda que da a las escaleras mecánicas y vuelvan al primer piso.
There is absolutely no clapping or loud outburst at any time while in council chambers.
No se permite aplaudir ni exclamar ruidosamente en ningún momento mientras se encuentran en la sala del consejo.
Everyone must find a seat and always remain seated while in council chambers.
Todos deben de buscar un asiento y permanecer sentado mientras se encuentran en la sala del consejo.
If you have a sign, please be respectful of the person sitting behind you.
Si tienen un cartel, deben de ser respetuoso con las personas sentadas detrás de ustedes.
If you cannot abide by the rules that have been read that govern council chambers, you will be asked to leave council chambers.
Si no pueden respetar las normas que rigen en la sala del consejo, se le pedirá que salgan del recinto.
Thank you.
Muchísimas gracias.
Spanish interpretation is available in the council chamber. Please see a representative in the back of the room to receive the appropriate equipment. Spanish interpretation is also available through Microsoft Teams for virtual attendees in need of this service.
Disponemos de servicios de interpretación en español en la sala del consejo. Por favor, diríjase atrás para recibir el equipo adecuado en la parte trasera de la sala. La interpretación en español también se está poniendo en disposición a través de Microsoft Teams para los participantes virtuales que necesiten dichos servicios.
At this time, the invocation will be offered by Associate Minister, Reverend Dr. Michelle McQueen Williams of First Baptist Church of South Richmond, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Good evening. Let's pray together. Lord, for the blessings of life, we give you glory, we give you thanks, and we give you praise. We thank you for the opportunity that is ours to gather in service to your people. Now, Lord, we invite you to be in the midst of these proceedings. Bless every official and citizen represented here. We ask that all that we say and do would go down to your glory. We thank you and we praise you now because you're good and because you're God. Amen.
Madam Clerk, please provide the chamber emergency evacuation announcement followed by the public speaker guidelines.
Upon activation of the emergency alarm signal, all persons should immediately exit the building. Please use the exit to the left or to the right front of the council chamber or the east or west stairwell outside the rear doors of the chamber. Do not use elevators or escalators. After exiting the building, proceed to the assembly area located in front of the Department of Social Services building at 900 East Marshall Street. Citizens and employees should assist visually and hearing impaired visitors with exiting the building. Public speaker guidelines. Individuals wishing to speak during public hearings and the public comment period are generally allowed 3 minutes to speak. Persons appearing before council are not allowed to campaign for public office, promote private business ventures, use language of a personal nature which insults or demeans any person, including comments directed at public officials or staff members that are not related to their official duties, or address or question staff members directly. All questions are directed to the president of council. Failure to adhere to these guidelines may result in speakers forfeiting any remaining time, and further disciplinary action is necessary, which could include barring from attendance at future meetings of the city council for a period of 6 months. Members of the public who registered in advance to speak virtually will be called at the appropriate time, either during the public comment period or during the public hearing for the legislation on which they sign up to address.
And Madam President, all members of council are in attendance this evening except for Councilor Robertson. Individuals standing in the rear of the chamber are asked to be seated except for the John Marshall basketball team and staff where seats are available. Also, applause is only permitted during the awards and presentations portion of tonight's meeting. Thank you.
We'll now move on to any recognitions for this evening.
Yes, Madam President, tonight's first acknowledgement is for the John Marshall High School boys basketball team. Richmond City Council is pleased to recognize the Richmond Public Schools John Marshall High School boys basketball team for winning the Class II State Basketball Championship title for the third year in a row. Richmond City Council celebrates the work and dedication of the John Marshall High School team members, coaches, staff, parents, teachers, families, caregivers, and supporters, and our community for their combined roles in helping to make such an opportunity and achievement possible.
Well, good evening. I just want to say congratulations, John Marshall High School. We are so proud of you all. Can we give them another round of applause for the national champions from the 3rd District right here in Council Chambers? I want to say congratulations. I'm so proud of each and every one of you. When we say the joy and pride of Northside, you guys are it. When we say it takes a village, it takes a village. Principal Murray, I just want to congratulate you. Coach White, thank you for pouring into our youth. Thank you for creating an environment for our kids to thrive. But at the end of the day, you guys are a true testimony of commitment, all the hard work that you all put in this season, and the discipline that you all put upon yourselves. We just want to appreciate you. We want to recognize you. We want to say thank you. And we also love to say congratulations. Thank you so much for being here. What you want to say? Okay. President, you want to say a few words, Coach? Principal Murray, Coach? Yes.
Good evening, everyone. We are truly humbled and grateful to just to share this day with you guys, and thank you for showing us love. You are us, and we are you. We represent you proudly every time we enter a gym, every time we go to a county school and beat up on a county school. We want to represent the city of Richmond to the fullest, and we don't take that lightly. Thank you for the love that you all continuously show to us, not just by showing, not just your financials, which are important, but also with your actual being there at the games. And we see it, and we don't take that lightly. So we are truly, truly thankful.
Yes, thank you again. Congratulations. We love you, and there's nothing you all can do about it. So you want to say a few words? Okay. Okay, it's no secret. You want to say something? Okay. we just want to recognize the REB Educator of the Year as well, who is the principal of John Marshall High School, as well as John Marshall credited for this year as well. So, Principal Murray, you are outstanding. We really appreciate all your efforts, and we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it either.
I love your back. I am honored to be here. I'm honored to serve the city of Richmond. I am a native of Richmond, and I'm a proud graduate of Richmond Public Schools. So to be able to do this work for the last 27 years with Richmond Public Schools is my honor. It's the work that I love to do. It's my passion. And each and every day, they remind me of why I chose to be an educator. So thank you to the city of Richmond, and we will continue to be the joy and pride of Northside.
The next recognition for this evening being presented by the Honorable Andreas Addison, 1st District Representative, and the Honorable Mayor Stoney, recognizes and celebrates the National League of Cities as it commemorates its 100th anniversary. Founded in 1924, the National League of Cities is a national organization of city, town, and village government leaders working to build stronger coordination, representation, and success. Representing thousands of localities and working in partnership across the U.S., the National League of Cities is the largest, oldest, and most respected national organization supporting localities. The National League of Cities efforts include work supporting municipalities with critical issues such as federal legislation, policies, initiatives, laws, and educating policymakers. Richmond City Council and Mayor LeVar Stoney commend the National League of Cities for its many years of support. Do hereby recognize, honor, and celebrate the National League of Cities as it celebrates its 100th anniversary, and thanks the National League of Cities Board of Directors, staff, leadership, members, and supporters for their ongoing efforts for helping make our city an even better place.
Well, last week we had a great tour with the bus from D.C. with National League of Cities. They came and went to the Shaco Project, and we showed all their staff the work we're doing to celebrate our story as a city for so many people in our country. And they were amazed at looking around at our history and our culture and saw what we're planning at with the Shaco Project. We went to VUU for lunch, met some other community leaders, and that's what National League of Cities is all about. It's truly bringing people together. Since I was elected in 2017, I've pretty much gone every year, except for COVID, as most people couldn't, went to every conference I could. Meeting with peers around the country of fellow elected officials, tackling challenges around housing, issues with digital divide and internet for the home, working on improvements for quality of parks and resources we have for our city residents. One of the biggest things National League of Cities has provided me is peers and friends around the country who I can lean in on for things that we do on this body, asking for advice, asking for direction, asking for best practices, things that they're challenged with. And the best thing is, every time we have a conversation, it leans in more on what we need to do together as a city. And so for me, the National League of Cities is an asset we bring here to City Council. A lot of the legislation things we bring in, we use them as a resource. They have guides and best practices we do. And so to be part of National League of Cities is an honor. I am on the board of directors, one of the 40 leaders of that organization, leading it forward. Ms. Gowdy from Virginia Municipal League serves on that as well. She is unable to attend, or she'd be receiving it with us today. So I'll give that to her as well. But just wanted to say, National League of Cities and their 100th anniversary has been a stalwart for focusing on things across our community, and we look forward to bringing more of that to everybody. Mr. Saunders?
Good evening. On behalf of Mayor Stoney, I'll just share our appreciation for the work of the National League of Cities. It's amazing how much you can gain from sharing those best practices and the knowledge across various localities. So whether it's the National League of Cities, the Virginia Municipal League, Virginia First Cities. so often some of our best opportunities come from ideas that are shared through those relationships and organizations. So thank you.
The next recognition for this evening being presented by the Honorable Kristen Nye, 4th District Representative and Council President and Chief Administrative Officer Lincoln Saunders, on behalf of the Honorable Mayor LeVar Stoney, recognizes, honors, and celebrates poetry as an essential part of our community. In 2021, in order to further exalt the importance of poetry and the richness of our city's creative culture, Richmond named its first Poet Laureate, which serves a 2-year commitment to promote poetry throughout the city. Richmond City Council and Mayor LeVar Stoney are advocates, champions, and supporters of the success of Richmond residents and thanks Richmond Poet Laureates for their work on behalf of our city. Richmond City Council and Mayor LeVar Stoney to hereby officially proclaim and establish the month of April to be Richmond Poetry Month in celebration of poetry as an essential part of our community's cultural experience and critical to helping continue to make our city an even better place.
Good evening, members of council. It's a pleasure to be before you this evening. During the COVID-19 pandemic, we launched the City of Richmond's Poet Laureate program as an opportunity and a way to really remind people of the incredible richness that poetry as a literary art form contributes to this beautiful and vibrant city. Our first or inaugural Poet Laureate was Mr. Roscoe Burnhams, who served for a 2-year term. And we are excited this evening to not only acknowledge him and thank him for his incredible service in helping to spread and promote poetry across the city of Richmond, but we also have the distinct pleasure of now announcing Mrs. Joanna Lee as our second Poet Laureate for the city of Richmond. Joanna is a part of Richmond City Poets, and if you have not had the opportunity to become familiar with her work, I highly encourage you to do so, as it is centered in nature and brings us an important reminder of the beautiful James River that's a part of our community. So again, thank you for recognizing April as National Poetry Month and giving us the opportunity to announce Joanna Lee as our new Poet Laureate.
The poet T.S. Laureate said in his famous The Wasteland that April is the cruelest month. And certainly this April, with all the violence in the world and all the violence we've had here at home and our youth, it has been a cruel month. And poetry can be not just expression, can be not just inspiration, it can also be grief, and it can be healing. And we need all of those things right now. So thank you so much for making this officially Poetry Month in Richmond.
The final recognition for this evening being presented by the Honorable Anne Frances Lambert, 3rd District Representative and Council Vice President, recognizes and celebrates Greater Mount Moriah Baptist Church as it celebrates its 100th anniversary. Founded on April 1st, 1924, Great Mount Moriah Baptist Church was born out of historic 6th Mount Zion Baptist Church when 76 members requested a letter of independence and received consent to create another church. Located in Jackson Ward, Greater Mount Moriah Baptist Church is known for its community-based programming, mentoring, and service work on behalf of children, young adults, and families, which include meals, tutorials, and literacy programs. Known for the dedication of its members, Great Mount Moriah Baptist Church has grown over the decades and is a respected congregation and continues to provide and expand programs and services on behalf of its members in response to the community. Richmond City Council does hereby recognize Greater Mount Moriah Baptist Church as it celebrates its 100th anniversary and brings this to the attention of all Richmond residents.
Thank you so much. First, I just want to give God all the glory as we are in here. I'm so excited about this recognition. Greater Mount Moriah Baptist Church, 100 years. Happy birthday. Yes. I'm I'm so honored to be standing before you because Greater Mount Moriah Baptist Church is such a distinguished icon in our neighborhoods. They have done so much for our community. We have an opioid crisis here in the city. We have food deserts in the Gilpin community. We have a housing crisis that we are facing right now. And with the help of our churches, Greater Mount Moriah has been in the forefront to making sure that we feed our hungry every single day of the week. I'm honored to recognize you all. Thank you so much for all that you all do. Thank you for the heart that you place upon our community, and I'm so honored to be recognizing you today. I'm so elated that you all have recognized a new pastor, Pastor Donche McCutcheon. Yes, a round of applause. Someone who is in the community that is now serving the church that he grew up in. It's just an honor to be standing here and to recognize this honorable, this wonderful tribute. So congratulations, happy birthday, and continue all the wonderful, beautiful things that you all do for the city of Richmond. Thank you so much. If you want to say a few words.
I stand on behalf of our congregation, me, the pastor, I'm the chairman of our deacon board, and all of our members. We want to say thank you, guys, and we love you, and we just look forward to doing more work with you. Amen. 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 Okay. Okay.
Madam Clerk, please call the first name on the list of public comment speakers.
The first speaker is Jenna Gabriel.
Hello, my name is Jenna Gabriel. I'm a third district resident and a proud Jewish mother to a young son. I'm here tonight because of my Jewish ethics, urging you to pass a ceasefire resolution that includes demands we divest from Israel and stop arming them. Tonight is the first night of Passover, a holiday that celebrates Jewish liberation from bondage. I should be at home, preparing for a Seder meal with my family, the first where my son is old enough to know he shares a name with the prophet Elijah, a symbol in our religion of social justice, redemption, and the coming of better times. But I'm here because I can't teach my son that his freedom is real when it comes at the cost of oppressing others. I am here because I can't celebrate the resistance and resilience our people have shown against thousands of years of anti-Jewish oppression when our generational grief and trauma is weaponized to justify genocide. Anti-Zionism is not anti-Semitism. And to equate critique of a 75-plus year colonial project with anti-Semitism discounts the very real threat anti-Semitism poses here in Richmond and around the globe. Such thinking makes Jews like me and my two-year-old, our Muslim friends, and our neighbors of every faith categorically less safe. Israel is making Jews less safe. Judaism taught me that we have a responsibility to contribute collectively to the repair of the world. In Hebrew, this is tikkun olam. Judaism taught me that in every life is a whole world. In Gaza, nearly 40,000 worlds have been extinguished in the last 6 months. More than 70,000 worlds forever altered by injury, even more by the loss of family members, homes, schools, and houses of worship. Nothing we have seen in Israeli military action is anything less than collective punishment, a crime against humanity, and a gross exploitation of Jewish grief and fear to serve an ongoing project of ethnic cleansing. This is not how we repair the world. This is not how we show we are a people who value life. Please, pass the resolution that has been in front of you since January. And then, as Harrisonburg's city councilors did, deliver it to our state and federal representatives, amplifying the voices of your constituents who recognize that bigger levers for meaningful change are at higher
you
levels
have 30
of government.
Seconds.
And when people tell you Israel is necessary to keep Jews safe worldwide, I want to remind you that Jewish safety is and always has been bound in the safety of Palestinians and other oppressed people. You cannot protect us while turning away from the crimes being committed in our name. Chag Pesach Sameach, and thank you.
No clapping during this part of the meeting.
The next speaker is Penny Page. Penny Page. The next speaker is Jasmine Cuellar.
It's no secret there's a housing crisis here. There are families who are facing eviction that simply can't afford to pay rent. There's a really harmful rhetoric used stating people within the system of receiving help are lazy or taking advantage of the system. For anyone who says that, I want to know if they think the people who work at the fast food restaurants or the grocery stores that they frequent deserve to have a place to live. Someone who works full-time at $15 an hour is walking away with maybe $2,000 a month after taxes, and that's for $15 an hour. There's people who make less than that, and they have families to feed and support. My question is, do we as a society not think that those people deserve to have a place to live? I know from personal experience that as a child, growing up in this kind of like stressful, insecure environment takes a toll on your health. Children suffer a lot in these situations, and they should be a priority to everyone. Which brings me to my next point. There have been at least 13,800 children killed and over 19,000 orphaned in Gaza. This doesn't even consider the amount of children who have been severely injured, needing amputations, and the mental trauma that will stain their lives. It's unimaginable. It's pretty crazy, right, that Israel's been murdering kids for over 6 months, and we've all just been watching it. What's really crazy is that if these kids weren't Arab, if they were white, I wouldn't even be standing here today. I wouldn't have to ask for people to care or to pass a resolution condemning what is so blatantly volatile. Yet here I am doing just that. Having to come here for the last 4.5 months and ask you to care about over 13,000 murdered children, it's pretty disgusting if you ask me. And it's pretty wild that we presented a resolution to the council on January 8th. Yet there are council members here who are supposedly writing their own resolution, and I'm kind of wondering why that is, that we haven't even been offered a seat at the table to contribute to that process, especially considering that we have heard time and time again that council members aren't educated enough. We are educated, we have put time and energy in, and it feels very disrespectful to me to completely disregard our resolution that, and then not even give us the space to give any input. It feels like there's a blatant disregard that what we've been coming here and saying for what we've been coming here and saying since January, just like the lives of 13,800 children have been blatantly disregarded. Are Palestinian children
seconds.
Are Palestinian children not important to everyone? Why are Palestinian lives valued less? If you think Palestinians are people, raise your hands. President, I can ask you a question.
There are no questions during this part of the meeting.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of wondering that if no one's raising their hand, do they not think that Palestinians are people? And why that, since we've been coming here, has no one given any consolation for anything that anyone's came up here and said? People have had family members die in Gaza, and no one has even acknowledged that. It's pretty horrible.
Thank you. That's your time. The next speaker is Catherine Harville.
My name is Catherine Harville. I'm a resident of the 2nd District, and I've been a Richmonder for 20 of the 27 years I've been alive. I'm here tonight to deliver your condemnation. As long as I've been your taxpayer, I've been sympathetic to you insofar as I'm sympathetic to the affliction of ignorance. but you're out of plausible deniability, so I'm out of sympathy. For months, I've watched my neighbors beg you for a ceasefire resolution, and for months, I've watched you refuse to dignify their pleas with even acknowledgement on the consent agenda. You dodge phone calls, emails, meetings, and when finally cornered, you insist, rather lackadaisically, that the genocide in Palestine lays too far beyond the scope of this body, too far beyond this place. But I'm in this place, and so long as you continue to ignore this resolution, you damn me to belong to a collaborationist government. I don't know where you got the idea that it's not your job as politicians to act politically, but the city of Richmond is not a playground for you. I don't care about your nightclubs. I don't care about your gym. I don't care about your masturbatory theater of personality, whatever Navy Hill garbage you're going to pick up and abandon next. I care that my tax dollars are bankrolling one of the greatest atrocities in the human record. I care that when walking in Richmond among the graves of so many enslaved Africans, we walk knowing all the crimes against our fellow man we've already had to confess here, and you're still not getting it right. The assertion that any continued Jewish existence is predicated on Palestinian child death is a blood libel of outrageous proportion, and I care that you are so monstrously anti-Semitic that you blithely accept that premise. I care that you are so sick as to believe that the public denunciation of a genocide is unreasonable while its passive acceptance is not. I care that you are so sick as to believe that there is any human or any human extermination not personal to you. I care that you, who allege to represent me and my community, report daily to the state, the Fed, and to the world that the people of Richmond accept the genocide of the people of Palestine, that we are willing collaborationists. That is a lie. I care that in this most urgent hour of our history, you've spent what precious time you had to act lying. This is all well within my own scope, so it is necessarily belonging to yours. You belong to your constituents. You belong to the Palestinian Richmonders who lose another of their treasured loved ones with each passing day. And when you sit before us scrolling your phones under your desks like sullen teenagers, you spit on their corpses like they are nothing. If you cannot be swayed by the obvious moral imperative, be swayed by self-interest. If you refuse to hear us now, no matter what lies you tell, you will be remembered as the collaborationists you were. We will find people who do hear us, and they will take from you your jobs and your every political ambition. You will not be missed. If you cannot be swayed by self-interest, be swayed by faith. You, like so many of your countrymen, are on the long escalator down. Do what you will with yourself, but you may not take me and my city there with you. See the resolution as it's written and divest while you still can.
No clapping.
The next speaker is Matthew Mullett.
I'd like to ask a quick question. Can I forego the 30-second notice and just, you can cut me off at 3 minutes? Is that possible? Great, thank you. I am Matthew Mullett, manager at Richbrow Brewing. I would like to provide an update to the review process of the business tax accounts identified through the recent meals tax situation. I'm thankful to be able to say today that our resolution has reached the agreement stage. I would like to thank Councilwoman Newbill for her constant attention throughout this process. Councilwoman Newbill reached out weekly, if not bi-weekly, to make sure that things stayed on track and the resolution was ultimately agreed to. While that's great for Richbrow Brewing, where does that leave the other unresolved accounts? I'm speaking on behalf of about 15 other businesses whose accounts have not yet completed the review process. The administration's word when this issue came to light, it impacted only a handful of businesses. Then they revised that number to about 500. Last week, the city auditor revised that to 673. 673 accounts. We were one of the first three accounts to begin the review process. Each of the remaining accounts, if it takes a similar amount of time to get through that, it'll take 167 years to complete the review process. In light of this request, or in light of this situation and the way that it's been handled, we'd like to request from the City Council to require the current administration to, number one, create a prioritization process. They need to identify, review, and process the refunds to those accounts that are owed money. These are vital operating funds so that these accounts can stay in business, and a few of these accounts and businesses are at the point where they could fail. So that money and that the return of those funds need to happen sooner rather than later. We'd like to request that the administration provide regularly published updates showing the business tax accounts resolved versus that total 673 number. And then finally, we'd like to request that the auditor conduct the audit that was requested initially. Now's the time where we need to get that information and be able to act on it. After RVA Pay is installed, I'm not sure how useful that account, that audit is going to be. I appreciate you guys considering this. I think it's great that you acted when you did, to the extent that you did. Councilwoman Newbill, thank you. And we appreciate you considering further action.
The next speaker is Melvin Jones.
Good afternoon, City Council and audience. My name is Melvin Jones. I live in the 3rd District. I come to you with heavy hearts this evening. I'm just getting over a heart attack from last week. I had a whole lot to think about, and the reason why I'm down here today is because my dad, he's 90 years old, and that I know of, and my brother and myself, my dad was the first black golfer in the city of Richmond. Matter of fact, he was the first black golfer to either caddy at one of the golf courses that blacks couldn't go on. So, and also when my dad worked at DuPont, he was the first African-American to win a golf tournament in a Fortune 500 company. And then on top of that, the people at the credit union, at the postal credit union, asked my dad, Mr. Jones, would you like to go up and play golf at Reston, Virginia? My dad said, Reston, Virginia, which was the Sheraton. So my dad said, yeah. My dad come home. My dad got trophies this big, this tall. So I'm asking City Council to name part of Fennell and North Avenue, Melvin S. Jones Sr. Avenue. My dad is the only living, oldest living person in that neighborhood. Oldest. I was raised in that neighborhood. And my dad's home, where he was raised at, is behind Virginia Union and still there. His home stayed home. So I'm asking City Council and my council person, Ms. Lambert, to help, if she would, please, to try to do it. And you made my dad happy when you came by. You really did. You know, I got heavy hearts behind this lady talking about homeless. Code enforcement about to put me out of my house. I've been in my house since 1989 because I've, you know, had heart conditions. I tried to get help. I went on radio stations. And I'm going to try to touch bases with John Marshall's basketball team to try to get them to help me because a person shouldn't have to go through that. You can pack a person in the corner, but so much. A person can't take but so much. And all I ask is this, and I'm going to leave it at this. All these people, and if you're not a police officer or whatever, please don't put your hands on the citizens. That's all I ask. I'm going to leave it at that. And I don't want it to happen anymore. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. That's your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones.
The next speaker is Christiane Riederer.
Before I start, I'd like to... Thank you. On January 8th, I was the first reader of the Peace and Justice Ceasefire Resolution. I understand that some of you have either not seen it or simply not bothered to read it yet. So I submit it here again tonight. In the intervening 3 months of your collective inaction, Thousands more Palestinians have been killed, tortured, maimed, and orphaned. You have heard impassioned, heartbreaking testimonies from Palestinians and your community, and been provided copious evidence in support of our resolution. Yet, we have been told this issue is not in your purview, or that you cannot take a side. Let me be very clear. By not acting, you are, in fact, taking a side. You are taking the side of apartheid, of ecocide, and genocide. There is nothing in our resolution that should or can be taken as controversial, anti-Semitic, or as terrorist propaganda. It simply implores you to unlock your humanity and take a stand against the horrors we see every day, paid for by our tax dollars. Read the resolution. My mother was born in San Francisco after her parents fled post-World War I Germany. When the U.S. entered World War II, Germans, like Japanese, were sent to internment camps. Some Germans were exchanged for Americans still in Germany. This is how my mother found herself in Germany in 1942, attending a school where behind every teacher's desk was a picture of Adolf Hitler. Repulsed by this, she turned one over to face the wall. The very next day, the Gestapo paid her parents and her home a visit. I relate this story because we are now facing widespread state repression of our right to protest against oppression. This past week, a Palestinian Congress in Berlin, Germany, organized largely by Jewish peace activists, was shut down by over 2,000 German police who arrested Jewish members of the Congress. Let me say that again. German police, 2,000 of them, arrested Jews protesting against Germany's support of genocide, Germany being the second largest weapon supplier to Israel behind the U.S. In this country, the valedictorian of University of Southern California, who majored in genocide studies, was prevented from giving her commencement address. Meanwhile, the president of Columbia University was grilled by McCarthyist hearings in Congress, all the while calling on the NYPD to arrest students at Columbia University participating in peaceful pro-Palestinian encampment. Every day, more students are being silenced and arrested. This is madness.
Thank you. That's your time. Thank you. That's your time. The last speaker is Abby Shuhart.
Good evening. As others here, I'm here to demand the City of Richmond pass a resolution for an immediate and permanent ceasefire in the Gaza Strip. Today is day 198 of the genocide in Gaza, perpetuated by the State of Israel and facilitated by us here in the United States. There are 2.3 million Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, approximately 47% of whom are children. Since October 7th, Israel has led a campaign of collective punishment against these people in Gaza. So far, they have murdered over 34,000 Palestinians, not including the 8,000 that are presumed to be buried under the rubble. At least 15,000 of them have been children. At least 136 were journalists, as well as at least 1,000 healthcare workers, aid workers, and civil defense workers. Over 400,000 homes have been damaged or completely destroyed, leaving 85% of the population forcibly displaced and over 77,000 injured. Every single university in Gaza has been destroyed. Hundreds of schools, heritage, and religious sites have been destroyed or damaged. 83% of Gaza's groundwater is not operational. Sorry, of the wells are not operational. 83% of their commercial facilities have been destroyed, and only 11 out of 35 hospitals in Gaza are even partially functional, and those are left hanging on by a thread. Northern Gaza is on the brink of a manufactured famine, while thousands of aid trucks are stuck at the border, where they are often blocked by settlers who wish to starve Gaza or by occupation soldiers who arbitrarily decide to ban essential items, Among those items have included scalpels, anesthesia, water purification and filtration devices, oxygen cylinders and generators, tent poles, toys for children, and artificial respirators. And when aid trucks do get in, it's not uncommon for them to be attacked by airstrikes, tanks, or Israeli gunfire as people try to reach it. I know we've all heard of the various flower massacres. The scale of mass death and destruction is all by design. The IOF uses at least 3 different AI systems. The mass assassination factory, that is the gospel, which creates power targets in civilian infrastructure.
You have 30 seconds.
And Lavender, which creates kill lists for suspected Hamas members. And the Where's Daddy system, which then tracks these suspected members to their family residences to blow them up with their families. And none of this should be surprising, because this is what they have said on day one, when Defense Minister Yoav Gallant said on October 9th that they were going to impose a complete siege on Gaza with no food, no water, no fuel. Everything is closed. We are fighting human animals, and we are acting
Thank
accordingly.
You. That's your time.
Thank you. I'll just...
And Madam President, that concludes the list of public comment period speakers for this evening.
Thank you. Mr. Clerk, let's move on to review any amendments to tonight's agenda.
Yes, Madam President. The amendments to tonight's agenda are as follows. Item 3, Ordinance 2024-077 will be continued to the Monday, May 13th Council meeting. Item 4, Ordinance 2024-078 will be continued to the Monday, May 13th Council meeting. Item 5, Ordinance 2024-079 will be continued to the Monday, May 13th Council meeting. And lastly, Item 7, Ordinance 2024-097 will be continued to the Tuesday, May 28th Council meeting. Madam President, those are all the amendments to tonight's agenda.
Thank you. Does any member of Council have any additional amendments for tonight's agenda? Is there a motion to accept the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Council is voting on this evening's agenda amendments as presented. Mr. Addison.
Aye.
Ms. Jordan. Aye. Ms. Jones.
Aye.
Ms. Lynch.
Aye.
Ms. Trammell.
Aye.
Ms. Newbill.
Aye.
Vice President Lambert.
Aye.
And President Nye.
Aye.
That motion was approved.
Madam President, the consent agenda consists of the following items. Item 1, Ordinance 2024-049. Item 2, Ordinance 2024-073. Item 6, Ordinance 2024-096. Item 8, Ordinance 2024-098. Item 9, Ordinance 2024-105. Item 10, Ordinance 2024-106. Item 11, Ordinance 2024-107. Item 12, Ordinance 2024-108. Item 13, Ordinance 2024-019. Item 14, Ordinance 2024-110. And lastly, Item 15, Resolution 2024-R013. Those are all of the items on tonight's agenda.
Thank you. We are now going to hold a public hearing on the consent agenda. Consent agenda items, and then for those of you who are here for the budget papers, we will do those after we're done with the consent agenda. So please hold off from giving public comment on the budget. For now, we're just doing consent agenda items. Are there persons who wish to speak in opposition to any items on the consent agenda? If so, please line up in the middle of the aisle. Are there any speakers online?
No, there are not, Madam President.
Okay. Are there any persons that wish to speak in favor of any items on the consent agenda? Okay. Madam Clerk, do we have any speakers online?
No.
Okay. The public hearing is now closed. Bringing it back to Council for discussion. Madam Clerk, please call the question.
Council is voting on tonight's consent agenda as presented. Mr. Addison?
Aye.
Ms. Durden?
Aye.
Ms. Jones?
Aye.
Ms. Lynch?
Aye.
Ms. Dremel?
Aye.
Ms. Newbill?
Aye.
Vice President Lambert?
Aye.
President Nye?
Aye.
Those papers have been adopted.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, let's move on to the budget-related papers for this evening.
Madam President, the budget-related ordinances include item 16, ordinance number 2024-099, through item 21, ordinance number 2024-104. Those papers are before the council.
Okay, thank you. And council member, with the number of speakers that we have here tonight, I'm going to propose a minute and 30 seconds per speaker. If I could just get some consensus. Okay. All right. We will now hold a public hearing on agenda items 16 through 21, which are the proposed budget ordinances. Madam Clerk, if you will call all the names of the speakers that signed up in advance to participate in the budget public hearing in person, and I'll ask that as individuals have their name called, please begin to form an orderly line in the center aisle. After the last in-person pre-registered speaker has provided their comments, the clerk will then call the name of the virtual pre-registered speaker. Following that, anyone present in the chamber who wishes to provide public comment will be asked to form an orderly line in the center. Each speaker will have a minute and 30 seconds to speak. Madam Clerk, please call the names of the in-person pre-registered speakers.
Bernice Travers. Stephen Strauss, Denise Rimes, Beverly Ross, Paulina Chavez, Marvin Gilliam, Sharon Gilbert, Ann Forrester, Gail Freeman Hull, and Lynn Fetter. Ms. Travers, you may proceed.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, President and Vice President of Council. My name is Bernice Travers. I reside in the 6th District of the City of Richmond. I am here tonight to request that in your budget that you would include the Bright Minds RVA chess program. This program is a very, very unique program in the City of Richmond. It was created in about 3 years ago to deter crime in the city, to work with the youth to get them off the streets during the summertime. So what we did, we created a chess program, and we used this chess program to teach behavior modification. We used this chess program to teach conflict resolution, how to deal with peer pressure, life and career planning, and entrepreneur skills. We keep these kids in our chess program for 3 weeks all day long. We feed them.
30 seconds.
30 seconds? Oh, that's not much time. But okay, then I'm gonna have to come back the next time. But what I would like is that you would include this program, because this program is for inner city youth and it deters crime, and our partners, the Black History Museum, the Commonwealth Attorney Office, the school board, some of these members of council have donated to this program, and it's a great program that keep kids off the street during the summer months and on Saturdays when we go to Virginia Union University to teach chess. And
thank you. That's your time.
Thank you.
Okay. Just as a reminder, each speaker has 1 minute and 30 seconds.
Should I talk really fast, or what do you think? What would you recommend?
However you prefer to use your time, as long as you're speaking to the budget.
Okay. My name is Stephen Strauss. I'm a 5th District resident, teacher at River City Middle School, and treasurer of the Richmond Education Association. Tonight, I'm speaking as an individual. I teach 7th grade English at River City Middle School. River City Middle School is one of the newest buildings in RPS. It was constructed in 2020, but already we're facing issues with wear and tear. We have tiles that are buckling. We have bathrooms without soap dispensers. There are water pipes in the ceiling that have burst.
And I just wonder, what is our school going to look like in 5 or 10 years if some of these maintenance issues aren't addressed? And I suspect it'll look like a lot of the other schools in RPS. When Jason Cameras became superintendent, he noted that the physical conditions of our schools were some of the worst that he'd seen in the country, and not a lot has changed. Our schools get to the point that they have to be completely rebuilt because we're not putting the money into them. And so I'm asking you all to fully fund the RPS
seconds.
Budget. Oh, man, how am I going to do this? And that 30-second timer really just messed up my flow. y'all heard the spiel. Just give us the money. There's places that can be found. Browns Island, I think that's a great project, but maybe you could ask Venture Richmond to give some of that money that they got from the private companies and the city, and we could give that to our schools instead. Thank you.
No applause, please. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Denise Rimes. I'm a member of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Richmond in the 5th District of the city, and I serve as a team leader for Richmonders Involved to Strengthen Our Communities. I want to thank Council Members Addison, Lambert, Lynch, and Robertson, all of whom attended our Nehemiah Action on March the 19th, and sorry that we missed the rest of you, those of you that couldn't attend, where there were 750 of your constituents. As you all know, in this year's budget, like last year, Mayor Stoney is proposing that $10 million in bond revenue will go to affordable housing. We implore you that any funding for affordable housing is mandated to go to the Affordable Housing Trust Fund. If this designation is not clearly stated, resolving the housing crisis risks becoming a political process with awards being made to preferred developers. And we need to take care of the most vulnerable in our city. We understand that Councilmember Lynch intends to submit a budget amendment to ensure these dollars go into the trust fund, and we are calling on all of you to co-patron this amendment. Likewise, there are nearly six million dollars in the tax rebate program that were designated by ordinance for the Affordable Housing Trust Fund, and we would also greatly appreciate you following your own ordinance by completing a budget amendment that will guarantee those funds go to the trust fund.
Time.
Madam Clerk, just one second. Mr. Winborn, are there folks in the overflow room that we need to? Okay, all right, great, thank you. All right, let's continue, thank you.
Good evening, I am Beverly Ross, member of Sacred Heart Catholic Church, South Richmond, and RISC team leader. On February 21st, we sent Mayor Stoney a public open letter via certified mail asking for $2 million to be put into his proposed budget for the mobile home repair and replacement program. However, there is $0 in his proposed budget for this program that is making unlivable homes livable. Just $2 million in a $1 billion budget could end the suffering of 73 more families. On March 19th, Councilmember Lynch committed to, if necessary, patron a budget amendment to get this $2 million in the budget.
30 seconds.
Council members Addison, Lambert, and Robertson all committed to support this amendment, if necessary. It is necessary. By putting $0 in his budget, our mayor has turned his back on the suffering of thousands across this city living in these conditions. And so we call on all of you to make this right. One of my fellow parishioners from Sacred Heart.
Thank you. That's your time.
Ms. Paulina will speak next.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Muy buenas tardes a todos los consejos. Lo siento.
Pause the time.
Sí, muy buenas tardes a todos los consejos y estoy aquí para agradecer de todo su trabajo de ustedes.
Yes, I am here today. Good evening to council member. I am here to demonstrate my appreciation to all of you.
Es que nosotros estamos muy contentos lo que hemos recibido.
We are all very happy for all that we have received.
Y también te lo pido que nos escuche todo el tiempo porque no solo nosotros, nos que hay bastante persona que necesita esa ayuda.
And I always ask that you listen to us because it's not only us who are in need of this help. There are many other individuals out in the community that need this help as well.
Y lo siento porque ustedes están trabajando duro por nosotros, pero le agradezco mucho su atención. Muchísimas gracias. Estamos esperando más dinero para que más familias reciban esa ayuda. Muchísimas gracias por su tiempo.
And I know you all have been working very diligently and listening to us, and we appreciate your help. And we're eagerly waiting for the next budget phase to help us with the next phase with our homes and the assistance that you all have provided us. We thank you.
Good evening, Council. My name is Marvin Gilliam. I serve as the pastor of the Mount Carmel Baptist Church in the 7th District, and I am co-president for RISC. At our Risk Nehemiah action on March 19th, the four council members who attended committed to over 1,750 people to patron and support budget amendments to ensure that the Affordable Housing Trust Fund would be appropriately funded and that $2 million would be allocated for the mobile home repair and replacement program. We would all agree that affordable and safe housing for everyone is vital to making sure that we have a city where everyone is seen and have what they need to thrive. Affordable housing and safe housing are foundational components of the just and equitable Richmond we are all trying to make a reality. And we also know that it is an important part of the increasing rates of homicides we are seeing in our city. Several months ago, we invited each one of you to our GVI roundtable on May 20th at 6:30 p.m. at the 3rd Street Bethel AME Church, where you can learn from agencies and organizations involved in doing the work of implementing the program in other localities. Along with submitting the budget amendments and given the crisis of the lives that are at stake, we hope that each and every one of you as our city leaders will be in attendance at the GVI roundtable. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Sharon Gilbert. I'm the Administrative Office Associate at William Fox Elementary School with Richmond Public Schools. I've worked with Richmond Public Schools since 2001. I started as a classroom substitute, and now I'm an Administrative Office Associate. I work three jobs in addition to where I work. I do DoorDash, Uber, and I also do acting. And I don't get very much sleep, let alone any self-care, and you've cut our time down. However, the schools need to be fully funded. I am asking that you do what you need to do for the sake of our students, and not just for the sake of our students, but for the staff. I'm a single person, and if I'm having a hard time, I can only imagine what people who are taking care of family members or caregivers, how they're managing and having children and having to work on the same salary that we work on. I am a member of REA, and I was on the team that negotiated to give us a raise. However, we haven't gotten a paperwork back yet. We need the schools fully funded. Stop playing with our future. Our children are our future, and take us seriously.
No clapping.
Good evening. My name is Ann Forrester. I'm a 5th District resident, an RPS teacher, and the Vice President of the Richmond Education Association. I'm here tonight to request that the City Council amend the fiscal year 2025 budget to fully fund RPS. According to my calculations, last year this budget allocated 23% of the total budget to RPS. Henrico put forth 56%, Chesterfield 39%, and Norfolk, a very similar city demographically to Richmond, put 37% forward. Before we think, well, we can't afford that, I want us to ask ourselves the following. If we can't afford safe and healthy schools for our children, how can we afford new police cars, police precincts, investments in foundations, and economic development line items? I love concerts and parks as much as any Richmonder, but I love my students and my coworkers more. The conversation we are having about the budget is not unrelated to the ask of this body to pass the Gaza ceasefire resolution. Both require us to be brave and recognize that the funding we never seem to have for our public schools and affordable housings is never an issue when it comes to funding war. Presently, Richmond residents' federal tax revenue equates to $3.6 million annually for Israel. Imagine if that were ours as a city. It could fix a lot of school roofs. So like we say at my high school, Richmond High School for the Arts, we're changing the narrative. I hope that the city council will do that and help us change the narrative in the city when it comes to fully funding our schools. Thank you.
Good evening, my name is Gail Freeman Hall, and I'm an administrative office associate at one of Richmond's elementary schools and an REA member. I'm here on behalf of the school-based office associates and support team of Richmond. Since September of 2023, myself and four other administrative office associates participated in collective bargaining with RPS as I already shared, we shared our testimonies at the school board meeting regarding our work and daily performances, and we fully reached a tentative agreement with RPS, and now we are anxiously awaiting for our CBA to be finalized by Richmond so that we can ratify. We need your help in funding our schools, which means funding for individuals like myself who are not teachers but integral part of our system. It is ironic that as a nation celebrates Administrative Office Associates Week, that I'm here asking you to support us. Our schools need all positions, especially those that work tirelessly behind the scenes doing the heavy lifting, those who do not always get recognized but are often forgotten but are just as important, if not more. Please fully fund RPS, both the operating budget and the CIP.
Hello, my name is Lynn Fetter. I am a resident of Richmond, the 6th District, and I'm here speaking on behalf of myself, a member of this wonderful community of Richmond, Virginia. I think we just heard one of the wonderful speakers ahead of me say that, let me see if I can get this right, some of the bathrooms in kids' schools in this city have no soap. Am I hearing that correctly? Because that is disturbing. We are in the middle of a pandemic, and there is not soap in our children's bathrooms. You know what else that means? That means that this city is more concerned about censoring free speech than it is about providing children with soap to wash their hands. A budget is a values document, and I urge you to consider what your values are.
And Madam President, would you like me to call the virtual speaker before we do the in-person?
Yes, speakers. Madam Clerk, if you all could wait. Those were our pre-registered speakers, and then we'll come back and we're going to do the online. We have one online speaker. Yes, Madam Clerk.
Ansley Perkins.
Good evening, Council Representatives. My name is Ansley Perkins. If Council does not fully fund RPS's proposed needs budget, school board will have to consider just some of the following cuts to make up the $20 million deficit. $1.9 million for 20 reading specialists trained in science and reading, $8.5 in CBA compensation for teachers and staff, including office associates and maintenance custodial staff, $1 million for 10 school counselors, $150,000 for two bilingual family liaisons. RPS proposed just over $16 million in CIP investments. The mayor proposed $2.5 million. The board will have to consider some of the following cuts to make up the $13.6 million deficit. $1.2 million to install AC in two schools' gyms. $1.5 million to repair the structural brick facade of one high school. $3 million to replace the roofs on two middle schools. $2 million to replace the roofs on an elementary school and a preschool. $1.2 million to upgrade the HVAC at one high school. These CIP investments are merely basic needs for students and staff learning and working in these facilities. As the manager of custodial services shared at a February school board meeting, of the 56 RPS facilities, 35 are over 50 years old. There is 5.1 million square feet to maintain, and the current maintenance budget is 37 cents per square foot, when the industry standard is $1 to $1.40 square foot.
That's your time.
Okay. Those of you in line, just stay where you are. Those present in the chamber wishing to speak on any of the proposed budget ordinances, if you wish to speak, please get in line behind the last speaker that is standing there in the black jacket. Okay. Thank you. Please proceed.
It's on?
It's on.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon. My name is Lakeisha Williams. I am a parent, a teacher, and a resident of the 8th District. And to answer the young lady's question, yes, there are schools with no soap. I am a 19-year preschool teacher, and my preschool building is one of the ones on the CIP budget that is possibly needing all the work. I'm asking that you fully fund the RPS budget, as though we have a preschool who has had to relocate their moving on ceremonies due to asbestos being taken over of the auditorium. I ask that you revisit some of the things that are going on in our schools and relate to the budget as of the amendments. Thank you.
Madam President, Vice President, members of City Council, Charles Willis, Executive Director of United Communities Against Crime. I want to come to you simply one request, and that is that you fully fund the amendments that Councilwoman Ann Lambert and other council members, along with Stephanie Lynch, is proposing to support the Trauma Healing Response Network. You all have heard from the police chief, the school superintendent, and many others across the city about the work that the Trauma Healing Response Network is doing. Now, I would be standing up here mostly talking about what United Communities Against Crime is doing. All of you all know, every last one of you have attended a prayer vigil or attended some kind of community meeting where we are simply just trying to give trauma relief to those that are dealing with bereavement due to trauma, homicides, and all of the other many different things. We just recently, 3 o'clock today, there was a mass shooting in Dinwiddie County where folks were flown to Richmond, Virginia because of not having the services in Dinwiddie County. So it does not only touch Richmond, it touches all over. But in order to do the work, in order to get the work done, we must have resources. In order to do those resources, we must have funding. This council has funded the Trauma Healing Response Network, but we need that budget amendment that is being proposed to continue to do the work so that we can be more preventive instead of reactionists. Thank you so much. God bless you. Those that support Richmond Public Schools fully being budgeted, please stand. Those that support Richmond Public Schools budget, please stand.
Madam President.
Yes, please proceed. Thank you.
Madam President, members of the school board, those in assembly. My name is Omar Kenyatta. I reside in the 9th Councilman District. My presence here this evening really is motivated, unfortunately, by the continuous homicide and issues related to poverty in the city, the extreme poverty. It is no doubt that Richmond over the years have internalized unsustainable community life as a norm. I'm here to beckon and speak on behalf of those persons who are not speaking for themselves, what does living in an unsustainable community looks like? It's a deterioration of the human personality. It's a deterioration of everything that makes us human. And to the extent that $1 billion going in terms of the budget, my sense of urgency is that each one of you as elected officials meet with your counterparts, both in the General Assembly and the federal government, to declare a crisis around sustainable life in the city of Richmond as it relates to not only homicides, but as you other persons have spoken of, the decayed issues of education, the decayed issues of not having access to affordable housing, disparities in health care. This is crisis. This is human crisis. This is not politics. What you are putting in place is fuming revolution, revolution of consciousness.
Thank you, Mr. Kenyatta.
I just want to make one quick...
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Please proceed. Thank you.
Hi. My name is Sean Kassar. I'm a steering member for the Richmond chapter of the Democratic Socialists of America, and I'm here to speak today on the RPS budgeting issue. The proposed budget is short $13 million for much-needed RPS repairs. I ask that funds from the capital improvement projects be used to fill the gap. Decades of underfunding, understaffing, forcing school cuts, and a systemic disregard for infrastructure needs has driven our schools to the widespread dilapidation that has caught the eye of parents, local healthcare workers, national media, and federal investigators. For those that maybe aren't aware, almost every single school has reported mold infestations, overall air quality degradation, extensive HVAC failures, and fire hazards. Reports have concluded that left untreated, these conditions will only worsen, putting the 20,000 students and staff in more danger than they already are, and will continue the inadequacy that got us here. The budget is a moral document. It is the clearest way for us voters and taxpayers to understand what the city council members and mayors value beyond all the posturing and politicking. The CIP disperses budgeted funds for special city efforts and projects that you and the mayor deem worthy. I can't think of a more worthwhile investment than the health and well-being of our children. $13 million is not a large ask for the city either. You all have no problem giving tens of millions to developers for beautification projects on Browns Island, for housing development that prices out and displaces residents, for new police stations and equipment to attract casinos, arenas, and other exploitative businesses.
Thank you.
Choose our students over That's developers and...
Hello, good evening. My name is Madeline McKelgan. I'm a resident of the 7th, and I am a lifelong resident of Richmond, Virginia, as well, in the community. And I am here asking that you fully fund RPS with the requested $16.3 million. We know that the success of our students, or lack thereof, determines many things down the line, not the least of which how we police crime. It baffles me that we have a fully funded RPD budget without RPS when the root of the problem for crime is lack of education. Why are we not considering that in our formulation of a budget? As has been said by my comrade Sean and others up here tonight, a budget is a values proposition. You are showing us that you value RPD more than your citizens, more than your students, more than the future of Richmond. It's a Shonda. And tonight, on the first night of Pesach, a holiday that is dedicated to education and liberation, I urge you to take those values into account as you amend the budget to fully fund RPS. Thank you.
My name is Samantha Mladen, and I'm a resident of the 3rd District. I will also graduate in August with my third degree from VCU, a PhD in clinical psychology. Over the past 7 years of my clinical training, I've provided thousands of hours of free clinical care to Richmond residents, mostly in the burn and trauma intensive care units, as a future rehabilitation psychologist. Over that time, I've seen incredible resilience from my patients and truly heroic efforts by my medical colleagues to save the lives of survivors of fires, car crashes, and gunshot wounds. I'm here to tell you that no amount of care or healing will ever make up for prevention. Simple efforts, such as working fire alarms, routine mold inspections, and proactive maintenance, can make a real and tangible impact on the health and well-being of our students and teachers. I do not want to see RPS students in the burn units where I trained. Fully fund
30
RPS.
Seconds.
Similarly, preventing the traumatizing, maiming, and killing of people in Gaza is much more impactful than responding after the fact. Prevention saves lives, avoids suffering, and in my ideal world, puts me out of a job. Prevention is not only a fiscal responsibility, it is a moral imperative. It is our moral imperative. It is yours. You've been elected by the people to serve them. Serve us, serve our children, serve the children of Gaza. These are not disconnected issues. Our funding reflects our
values. Thank you, that's your time.
Thank you, ma'am.
My name is Alan Chipman. The district I'm in is complicated. If you're asking us as taxpayers to fully fund the flying squirrels, we should without question be fully funding our soaring students. I'd rather fund group violence intervention to deal with the flying bullets killing our children than be financially concerned with the flying squirrels and the Major League Baseball team. And by the way, our mayor should not be out here campaigning to ask the state to fully fund our schools when his own budget does not. As Dr. King said, the budget is a moral document. As a nation, we are fully funding Israel's request for weapons to destroy the homes and lives of Palestinian children and families. As a city, we should use our money to fully fund the tools to support and educate children and families here at home in schools and in the most affordable housing, as the stipulations are in the Affordable Housing Trust Fund. And I just stand in support with RISC. Thank you.
Hello. Hello, my name is Jacob Neil Helt. I am a high school teacher at Richmond High School of the Arts. I came here last year to speak on the same issue regarding the school budget. Once again, along with my fellow community members behind me, I'm here to ask and request that Richmond City fully fund our public schools. Education has the largest impact on poverty, violence, and crime rate, and many more things. If we want to address all of those with one budgetary focus, education should be the primary focus, not a secondary or tertiary focus. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Kayla Aaron, and I'm a resident of the 2nd District. I am also a kindergarten teacher, a McClenny Elementary, and an REA member. I'm here to implore the council to fully fund RPS. This calendar year alone, my students' learning has been disrupted by both a mouse and a termite infestation in our classroom, not to mention the chronic drainage problem we navigate every day when we need to use the restroom. When Richmond allows our school buildings to deteriorate in this way, we communicate to our students and staff that they are not deserving of a safe and healthy learning and working environment. I urge you to fully fund our schools to protect our community's learners. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jasmine Cuellar. You guys already probably know that, though. I'm in the 2nd District as well. I just want to say that in the beginning of this night, we did a ceremony for a Richmond public school for John Marshall. I feel like the best way to show appreciation isn't award ceremonies, it's to fund the schools that they go to. The award ceremonies was great. It should happen again, but I think the funding of the schools is obviously more important. I want to say, too, that I kind of want to echo some of the same things that about police being funded fully, yet not schools. And a lot of my comrades, I've already drawn the connections for you there, but I do want to say that there was a shooting maybe 2 Sundays ago now, and while there was a shooting and there wasn't enough officers on the scene, they were busy watching us do arts and crafts in Monroe Park. Why? They could have been at the scene to help. And then they have the audacity to actually use that as a way to...
Please stick to the budget items.
Okay, is the funding of schools not on the budget?
Please stick to the budget items.
Okay. Well, if we take some of the funds from police and give them to schools, then I think that's what I'm trying to say.
No clapping.
My name is Lisa De La O. I'm an 8th District resident and English teacher at Huguenot and a board member of the REA. Politicians love to say that children are our future, but it is time to show it by putting our money into fully funding RPS. Fully funding our schools needs to be a priority as they have gone years and years being underfunded and under-resourced. Now we are seeing the various consequences of that underfunding. Crucial funds that could repair our broken, unhealthy, and unsafe schools could come from the budget items that are less urgent and vital to our actual health of our most vulnerable populations, our children. For example, these budget items include the $4 million to buy a new fleet of police cars that would only over-police our children. Another budget item that is not crucial to the well-being of Richmond residents is the $4 million being put forward to renovate Browns Island. Any budget items that allow corporations to garner huge profits at the expense of the health and safety of our students and staff is wrong and must be changed. As a society, we claim to desire and protect our children, to want the best for them, yet the city has put forth a budget that underfunds our children's schools and has refused to pass a ceasefire resolution for Gaza, where 15,000 children have been murdered in a genocide. These issues are not unrelated, as they clearly demonstrate the priorities of the city council, and it is not the safety and well-being of our children or human rights for all. I spend my own money on my students every single week.
Thank you.
Just a reminder to our speakers, it's a minute and 30, and please stick to budget-related items.
Hello, yes, my name is Rosalind Anderson, and I am a cafeteria manager at Brown Middle School, and I'm also a REA board member. I am here to request that council fully fund Richmond Public Schools. I see every morning these kids coming into a cold building. Half the time, the bathrooms overflow. I have workers in my kitchen that have to work 2, 3, 4 jobs in order to make it. I have 3 of us that do Uber. I sell dinners out of my house in order to make it. Please fund RPS.
Hello, my name is David Baker. I am a teacher at Richmond High School for the Arts, and I'm going to be brief. Our schools are nasty. There is mold, there's poor air quality, and there's exposed asbestos. And I know because it's all been in my own classroom. The students at my school, Richmond High School for the Arts, they know things are bad. And they can't, you know, they know things are bad. They know the system is failing them, and they can't wait for a new school to be built when they're going through all that now and will be in the future when that new school falls apart too. How are our youth supposed to feel when they know the adults in charge of the city are not only failing them, but through their actions are sending the message that they don't even care about them? RPS needs to be funded right now. And it's been said before, but it's appalling that we give money to fully fund RPD and give to Israel, yet somehow we can't give money to our schools. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Kayla Temple. I'm a resident of the 1st District. I am a Richmond City Public Schools graduate. I went to Richmond City Public Schools the entire time that I was in middle, elementary, and high school. I would like to request that the council fully fund Richmond Public Schools. They have long been underfunded. They have long been falling apart. Virginia educators make the least money out of many, many, many states in the United States. I believe we're number 49 out of 50. It has long been atrocious. It has long been time to fix these problems. This has to change. You guys have participated in a number of exploitative funded projects in trying to push a casino and trying to fix, make amendments to Browns Island that are unnecessary. The Richmond Police Department does not need to be fully funded. You guys recently noted that you're going to reinforce a curfew for children who are 17 or under. How about instead of putting the police on children who are 17 and under, who are out past 11 p.m., why don't we go ahead and fund them, their schooling? Why don't we go ahead and give them a safe place to be during the daytime? Why don't we give them things to do in the afternoon? This is ridiculous. Fund the schools. It has been like this for decades. It needs to change.
Hello, City Council. My name is Mac Atkins. I'm a university student at VCU. I'm studying history and sociology in my undergraduate program. I want to ask you to fully fund the Richmond Public Schools. I was lucky enough to be a graduate of public schools myself, and my mom was a fourth grade teacher and is now an elementary school librarian. She taught me the importance of education and how valuable that is. I grew up in a well-funded public schools and buildings that weren't falling apart, and I ask you to give the Richmond children the same opportunity. I also ask you to put like less money from policing and put it into our schools. There's no reason the RPD should be watching university students practice their free speech. Instead, our schools, our public schools should be built up and they should be clean. I ask you to divest from policing and Israel's military occupation, divest from imperialism, divest from death, and invest in life. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sarah Mattingly. My husband and I have property in the 7th District. I came here today to support RISC and to support those council members who came to the Nehemiah Action and promised, if certain funding didn't appear in the budget, to co-patron amendments to put that in there. However, today, now, I'm going to speak about the public schools. This was an issue I didn't even know about until I showed up here about the fully funding, so shame on me. But the one thing I want to say, after advocating for public schools in other counties in the state of Virginia, these children are our future. They are going to be in charge when we are old and when we can no longer be in these city council meetings. And if you don't fully fund and give them the schools and the education they need now, gosh, help us all. Thank you.
The budget public hearing is now closed. Bringing it back to council for any comments. Councilmember Lynch.
Thank you. Madam President, I think the energy tonight, the advocacy is very important, salient, poignant, and I think some of our speakers did a good job connecting all of the issues, and they're right. I want you all to understand that the budget comes to us, and it is our job as council members to look at that budget and present amendments. I intend, and I know many of my colleagues hopefully intend and will support a budget that fully funds the ask on we're going to try to do what we can on CIP and make up the difference for the RPS budget. We have consistently, as a council, every year the RPS budget has gone up $10 million, $20 million, $30 million, above and beyond its operating budget. And every year we have found a way to fully fund it because our children are our future, and they are the most important and precious assets that we have in this community. And it is often the kids that come from those vulnerable families in our city that get left behind because they are going to zone schools that are not adequately maintained, that do not have the staff support in classroom and outside of it to fully support them and their families. We are also fighting for amendments to support the RISC amendments, as we committed to in the Nehemiah Action Day. We are also supporting amendments that are already in the mayor's introduced budget, and Councilmember Addison put this one in here, but a very important one to give everyone a right to counsel for eviction. That is oh so salient right now, given the fact that RHHA is displacing people en masse. And but for our colleagues that are sitting on this dais, There would be people homeless and evicted right now. Councilmember Newbill, Councilmember Robertson, Councilmember Lambert, Andreas, Councilmember Addison, Jordan, Nicole, all our colleagues have been working hard to try every day and provide oversight over entities that are working, intentionally or otherwise, who's to say, but sometimes it feels intentional, intentionally or otherwise, to make life harder for people living at the margins. And that goes for some of the folks that are sitting here in this room. And so if you're working those two, three jobs, we're here to support you. That's our job. And we appreciate the advocacy to remind some of us how important it is to do our jobs and meet you where you are. But I hear the vigor, I hear the frustration, I hear the emotion. I'm right there with you. Because it's hard to see and experience despair, struggle, and challenge in our kids' lives and our families' lives every day, day in and day out. I hear you on that. But I just wanted to take the opportunity to say that the ball game is not over, that the process really starts now. Amendments are due for council members on Wednesday, and we're not done with this budget yet. So we appreciate you coming down and letting us know what your interests are.
Any other comments from Councilmember? Councilmember Trammell?
Thank you, Madam President. I want to thank my colleague for some of her statements that she just made. I know that I have been working with the administration in reference to supporting the mobile homes. We got a meeting coming up, and I thank you, Cheryl Hampton, for 9, 10 o'clock at night calling me, texting me. And we've been working with the mobile park. Oh yeah, I have. I've been in there. You can't hear me?
No.
Well, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But anyway, I was saying earlier that I thank Cheryl Hampton for working with me, calling me 10, 11 o'clock at night. We have found some funding that we're going to speak about very soon, going to have a meeting in reference to the mobile parks. I go out there all the time. If you look at my Facebook page, I'm out there all the time helping people. No matter who they are, no matter what, we're out there. And just because I don't come to your meeting because something else came up, I don't think you have a right to kind of like put us down because some of us had another commitment if it was. But anyway, I will say this. I want to help fully fund those schools. They need it. And we know that. And what I've asked, you know, the school board members aren't here tonight asking. So we are getting, you know, I know we're doing the budget right now, and I know that there's things that's going to have to be cut. We talked about it earlier. And there's more things going to have to be cut. Because you're right, those children, that's their school. Those teachers, the staff, all of that, I've said that. I've been in those schools. I've been over there, and I've helped the cheerleaders at George Wythe get the new uniforms that they needed, the young men that needed the jersey. I took the money that the mayor gave us and used the money for that. I put money into the Summerhill Pre-K so they could have artwork and things like that. I've been trying to do that, but I don't know if I'm not told. And with you all coming down tonight, telling us what you need. That's what I want to hear, not for y'all to say we haven't did. And yeah, we need to do more. But we didn't, you know, we kept the real estate tax at $1.20 because we realized that a lot of people were losing their homes with the assessments that's going up. And then the crime in the neighborhood, the shootings. Thank God for our police. I know what my colleague has been through since Easter. I know what she's been through, going to the funerals of the young people. These are Richmond Public School students that are no longer going to ever be here again with us. Think about that. We need those police officers in our neighborhoods. We need them. Well, we
Order.
Have them. That's so that we don't have any more shootings and bury more people, especially our young people. But like I said, we want to make sure, I appreciate you, we heard your voice, that you want more funding for the Richmond Public Schools. And that's where my heart is tonight. Thank you.
I believe there is a motion needed concerning the budget papers. Is that correct, Madam Clerk?
That is correct, Madam President. Councilmember Newbill, will you make the motion to continue the pending budget ordinances to the Monday, May 6th special council meeting?
So moved, Madam Clerk.
Second.
Thank you. Council is voting on the motion to continue all pending budget-related ordinances to the Monday, May 6th special council meeting at 1 p.m. Mr. Addison?
Aye.
Ms. Jordan?
Aye.
Ms. Jones?
Aye.
Ms. Lynch?
Aye.
Ms. Trammell?
Aye.
Ms. Newbill?
Aye.
Vice President Lambert?
Aye.
And President Nye?
Aye.
That motion has been approved.
Thank you. Let's move on to approval of the minutes.
Yes, Madam President. The minutes to be approved are from the April 8th, 2024, 4 o'clock informal and 6 o'clock formal meetings. If there are no amendments or corrections, then those minutes will stand approved as presented. And those minutes have been approved. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Hold on 1 second. Members of the community who are leaving, if you could do so quietly, please, while we continue with our meeting. Thank you. Madam Clerk, let's move on to address tonight's list of legislation for introduction.
Council members, before you is the list of legislation to be introduced this evening, consisting of items numbered 1 through 8. The legislation on this list is hereby introduced as presented. A copy of the list is currently available for public inspection at the rear of the council chamber, and an electronic copy and copies of the legislation listed therein will be available on the city's website on Tuesday, April 23rd.
Okay, thank you. Let's move on to reports and announcements. And we'll start with Councilmember Jones. No, we'll start with 9 and we'll work our way backwards.
Thank you, Madam President. As a reminder that annual property tax bills were issued this past Monday, April 15th, and are due on June 5th. We know that the mail service has been unreliable, so I encourage you to pay through the new online portal RVA Pay to ensure that the city receives your payment on time. Again, the city treasurer's office is holding its fourth annual financial literacy fair on this Friday, April 26th, from 11 to 2 p.m. at City Hall. I'd encourage you all to attend, and there will be information on credit repair, how to start a business, debt relief planning, and more. On April 27th, from 10 a.m. to 10:30, the Broad Rock Branch Library will be holding a bilingual poetry reading. We just learned tonight that this month is Poetry Month. And the library will also be hosting Dia de los Niños, Children's Book Day, to provide community resources and an opportunity to fellowship with our neighbors across the 9th District. So please come out. And DPU is hosting a speed management symposium on May 14th from 5:30 to 8 p.m. This is an opportunity for residents to speak with city departments and other partnering organizations about our collective efforts toward road safety and speed management across the city. Speeding and road safety concerns continue to plague our city, but especially the 9th District, so I am asking folks to come out and have their voice heard. And lastly, I'll be holding my next district town hall meeting at Pops Bingo World on May 16th at 6 p.m. And we have a packed agenda centered around infrastructure. Each month we have a different theme. This month for May is infrastructure. And we are welcoming special guests from the city's department and much, much more. Dinner is provided as always. And I hope to see you all there. If you need me, you can be reached. I can be reached at nicole.jones@rva.gov or by phone at 804-646-2779. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Trammell.
We had our meeting on April the 11th, and I want to thank Lincoln Saunders for attending our meeting and brought the baby with him. and she was very, very interested in what was going on around us. And thank you, Andreas, for attending, and the other ones that are running for mayor. The four others, ones that are running for mayor, attended the meeting. They were given an opportunity to speak as to why they want to be the next mayor. And also, we talked about our tax relief. We're trying to make sure that our seniors get the tax relief. A lot of the seniors do not know about the tax relief. And earlier today, I spoke to some people in social service that are going to help with the tax, help the seniors know about this tax relief. Even we got to set up a satellite office at the Southside Plaza. Also, I've been told that the social workers are going to remain at Southside Plaza Social Service Building. They're not going to be moved out of there. They will remain there even when social service is moved to the Times Dispatch Building. So that's a good thing. Also, Station 21, Fire Station 21, has been torn down. We're in the process of building a new fire station, Station 21, that is probably one of the oldest fire stations in the city, 81 years. Also, I want to thank the police chief for all that he's done. He's been out here with the citizens. He's been out here talking about how, you know, things that we can try to do with this, with the youth. And as the mayor and the police chief said, the guns are not the issue. Back in the day, people would fight and get up and get over it. These days, people are able to get guns from the unlocked cars where the guns are being in there. We're telling everybody, lock your cars. Please lock your cars. And if you've got any valuable stuff in there, take your valuable stuff out of the cars so people will not be tempted to break in there. Also, this is your smoke alarm. It's the only thing that's free. These smoke alarms will save your life. If you call 646-1526, the firefighters will come to your house or come to your apartment, and they will make sure that you have a working smoke alarm. So please take advantage of that. If you have any questions, you can call my cell at 804-240-5050 or my home at 804-233-7382. Think of, oh, and our next meeting, people are asking me already, is Thursday, May the 9th. Thursday, May the 9th.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Newbell, District 7.
Thank you, President Nye. I would just like to extend an invitation to 7 district residents to join me for the next 7 district community meeting this Thursday, April 25th at 6 p.m. at our Powhatan Community Center located at 5051 North Hampton Street in our Fulton community. The agenda for that meeting will include an update from the General Assembly by our delegate, Ray Cousins. Our school board representative, Cheryl Burke, will provide an update on our RPS budget, but programs as well. We'll have representation from our Commonwealth Attorney's Office as well as RPD and Fire. The major focus for the meeting will be the FY25 budget, so it will be an opportunity for residents to provide further comment on the budget, and look forward to seeing you again this Thursday, 6 p.m., Powhatan Community Center. For additional information, please feel free to call our district office at 646-3012, or you can reach out to the 7th District City Council Liaison, Samuel Patterson, 804-241-7544 is his cell, or you can reach me at my cell, 804-543-7837. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Newbell. For folks that are watching, Councilwoman Robertson was feeling a little under the weather tonight, so she is not here. But we have Councilmember Lynch with the 5th District. Announcements.
Apparently it is bike month, so happy bike month. In any case, sorry, I got distracted with a text message to remind me of that. So Civic Association meetings, we have quite a bit coming up. We have the Oregon Hill Neighborhood Association meeting via Zoom tomorrow on Tuesday, April 23rd at 7 p.m. This information is shared via their listserv. The Uptown Association is also meeting tomorrow night on Tuesday, April 23rd at 6 p.m. This information is shared via their listserv. Maymont Civic League has restarted their weekly Wednesday walks around the neighborhood at 7 p.m. They meet at Pennsylvania and Greenville Avenue. The Randolph Neighborhood Association will be meeting this coming Thursday, April 25th at 6:15 p.m. at the Randolph Community Center. Patrick Henry School of Science and Arts will host its Spring Festival this Saturday, April 27th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's on 3411 Sens Avenue at the playground. Albert Hill Middle School is also hosting their yard sale fundraiser this Saturday, April 27th from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 3400 Patterson Avenue. The Forest Hill Spring Classic was rescheduled to this Saturday, April 27th in Forest Hill Park. Next Thursday, May 2nd, the Sens Avenue Safety Committee will be meeting via Zoom. This information is shared via their listserv. You can contact my office for more information. And again, thank you for all the volunteers that have helped build and deliver senior bags. We will be finishing up with the West End Neighbors Stadium in Tarrytown South and moving back to Southside and into our senior complexes. If you would like to help build or deliver, please contact my liaison, amy.robbins@rva.gov or 804-646-5724. On Saturday, May 11th, the second annual Swansboro Health Fair at Swansboro Elementary School is from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Please contact us or the school if you are interested in volunteering. The Strawberry Street Festival will also be taking place on Saturday, May 11th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Clark Springs Fox Elementary School off Harrison. I'm sure I will see some of you, some of my colleagues there. And of course, if you need contacts to be included on any of our listservs, you can reach my office by calling 804-646-5724 or emailing stephanie.lynch or amy.robbins@rva.gov.
Thank you. Okay, Councilmember Jordan.
Thank you so much. I appreciate everyone who came to our April community meeting out at the Diamond. Especially grateful for Parney and the Squirrels for hosting it, and to our guest presenters, School Board Member White, our DPU team led by Director Bingham, CAO Saunders, DCAO Ebert, and the Diamond Development District partners. You can view a full recording of that on our YouTube channel. I'm not going to say it's the best production quality. People forgot to stand in front of the phone, so they're coming in and out of focus, but the content is all there. And you can also, in my last newsletter, we have all the links to those presentations that are also up on the city website. Would like to call attention additionally to the DPW survey featuring five Vision Zero projects around the city, including a project to do safety enhancements at Stewart Circle and extend the bike lane on Franklin West of Belvedere. The survey is on the city's website and open through Friday, May 17th. Gotten a lot of questions about the Zoning Advisory Council. For those that have been following the zoning rewrite process or applied to be on the Advisory Council, we received an update from the Planning Department that, and this is in quotation marks, an interdepartmental team has been working through the applications. Thanks to everyone who applied. That's my personal narrative insertion. The Planning Department hopes to present the recommendations to Chair Poole for consideration by the end of this month, in order to make a recommendation at the first City Planning Commission meeting in May. So reach out to our office if you have any questions about that process. Also like to highlight the Speed Management Symposium. The City of Richmond's Department of Public Works is having another Speed Management Symposium. These have been terrific. I hope folks really take advantage of it. All our department folks come out, a lot of great information. You can interact with staff, also get the latest stats on how we as a city are tackling our speed problems. So that symposium will be May 14th, 5:30 p.m. to 8 o'clock at Main Street Station. During the symposium, the city will discuss safety and various efforts to reduce traffic crashes, fatalities, and injuries on public roadways. It'll be a very interactive event, so please, again, May 14th, 5:30 to 8 at Main Street Station. There will be refreshments and other fun surprises. Also coming to your mail, personal property taxes. Please keep an eye out for those. City Council worked hard to make sure you get those in the mail with more notice than you had previously. So now
You're supposed to be getting those personal property taxes 45 days prior to their due date. You can also find them online at RVA Pay, the Finance Department's new and improved tax payment platform. RVA Pay allows you to look up your bill information, and you can also pay it online. Just Google RVA Pay and sign up through the website. Lastly, today is Earth Day. Really enjoyed going to C3's Climate and Business event last Thursday and attending the press conference on Friday with some of my colleagues, council members Jones and Addison, where RVA Green 2050 went over some of their highlights and achievements. I was supposed to announce and messed up that at the event, we received a federal LEAP grant in partnership with C3 and Chamber RVA. C3 will focus on providing supports to small, women, and or minority-owned businesses in the city of Richmond that serve low-income and high-energy burden areas of the community to develop emission reduction plans. So in simple language, if you have a small business or you're low-income, or you feel energy burdened, this is a partnership that will help you identify ways to save money on your utility bills. It'll also provide a more comfortable living environment for you or working environment. It's not fun to be really cold because you don't want to turn your heat up, or really hot because you don't want to use air conditioning. Today is also liaison Sven Phillipson's birthday, and I hope he is enjoying it. Just to close, and this is, I think, the longest I've ever talked. I couldn't do my job without Sven. I couldn't do this job without my colleagues. Couldn't do this job without the people in City Hall and City Council offices. And I just really appreciate all the extra support right now to make sure I'm doing the best job I can for my constituents. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Sven. Councilmember Addison.
Thank you. So my updates will be as follows. We had a great celebration of Earth Day this weekend. Many events with my peers. All three of us were together. That was great to celebrate our accomplishments. 12% of the pathways to getting through our list of RVA Green 2050 is a start, but we've got a lot of work left to do, and I look forward to working with my peers here to get that done. Also, join me in May. It is going to be National Bike Month. It'll be my goal to try to ride my bike in every district in the city in some fashion. So I'll coordinate with all of you how I do that. If you want to ride rollerblades with me, Ms. Lambert, we can do that instead. I'll still ride my bike, but you can do your rollerblades. But yes, looking forward to seeing how we make all of our city more accessible to all people. Personal property taxes, as you've heard, we have not been able to look them up on our own before until this year. Looking forward to seeing how RVA Pay can help improve our communication and engagement around what is owed and when it's due. So make sure you go look in what is on that account for you so we can stay up to date with all of that and look in the mail for your bill as well. Save the date for our next First District Town Hall meeting. It'll be May 14th. From 6 to 7:30 at a new location. We are meeting at the West End Branch Library on Patterson Avenue, so looking forward to seeing you all there. DPW's annual Speed Management Symposium will take place on May 14th, the same day at Main Street Station. So if you're not at my town hall meeting because you want to care about traffic safety, I understand. If you want to go there, learn more about speed management, pedestrian safety, and other ways we are partnering to make our streets safer, please attend. The Museum District Association's annual Spring Fling will take place tomorrow, Tuesday, April 23rd, from 6 to 8 at the Virginia Museum of History and Culture. Go to the website museumdistrict.org for more details and information. Westwood Civic League will be hosting its annual Earth Day cleanup at the Westwood Park on Saturday, April 27th from 8:30 to 1 p.m. I will be there. They make sure you come to do the work before they serve you lunch, because that's the enticement to make sure that people want to help do all the work. I'll be there at about 10:30 to help after my work is done and at my business and that morning. Make sure you contact RVA 301 for the quickest way to report any customer service requests, and make sure if there's any delay or questions you might have to address those to my office. You can contact us at 804-646-5935. You can email me at andreas.addison, A-N-D-R-E-A-S, period, A-D-D-I-S-O-N, at rva.gov. Also include whitney.brown at rva.gov as well. Thank you, and have a great week.
Thank you. Vice President Lambert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to thank everyone that came out tonight. That is something that we as council members really appreciate, is the engagement from the citizens. Let us know what it is that you all want us to hear, so we appreciate that. Shout out to the national champions that we recognize tonight. John Marshall High School is the three-peat champions, national champions, Division II. Just want to shout them out again. We have Civic Association meetings happening this month. Gunner Park Residents Association will be meeting Tuesday, May 14th at St. Paul's Catholic Church in the Fellowship Hall. Washington Park Civic Association will be meeting on Tuesday, May 21st at 5:30 p.m. at Pine Camp Cultural Arts Center. Bellevue Civic Association will be meeting on May 21st, Tuesday, at the Battery Park Christian Church Fellowship Hall. You can get pizza at 6 p.m., and the meeting begins at 6:30. Edge Hill Chamberlain Court Civic Association meeting will be taking place at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, May 28th, at Seven Hills School. Community input is requested for Vision Zero projects. DPW is conducting a survey to solicit resident feedback on a variety of projects, such as each in the city's high injury network. The high injury network comprises of the streets that were the most vast majority of serious injuries and fatalities that occurred. The survey is open until May 17th, so please email, you can email my office for more information on that. Francis W. McClenney Elementary School is having their renaming ceremony tomorrow, April 23rd at 11 a.m. I will be there to help celebrate the school's first black teacher and first black principal, Francis W. McClenney. This is going to be a wonderful time tomorrow, so please stop by. It's located at 3817 Chamberlain Avenue. Parks and Recreation, the spring summer Parks and Recreation Digest is out. To see it electronically, you can Google RVA Parks and Rec Summer Digest for a printed copy. And we are in our budget process right now, so if you want to view the FY25 proposed budget, please Google RVA proposed budget FY25, and that will easily pop up. If you have not signed up for the Third District newsletter, please do so at the number 3, the letter RD, the word district, rva.com. And lastly, I am hosting a women's summit on May 10th for the women of Gilpin Court. It will be held at the Calhoun Center from 12 to 3 p.m. It will be a wonderful day to celebrate the women in the community, and we will have a special video message from Kimba Smith, who is a Richmond native and also a filmmaker. So she has a new movie out called Kimba, and so we will be celebrating that aspect of that film as well. So I just want to make those announcements, and thank you so much, and you all have a wonderful and blessed evening.
Thank you, Vice President Lambert. Okay, updates from the 4th District. Saturday, May 4th is a big community event day. Oxford Neighborhood is having Oxford Donut Fest from 9 to 11 a.m. on Barningham Strip. And the Westover Hills Neighborhood Association's annual picnic is the same day from 4 to 8 on Prince Arthur between New Kent and Evelyn Byrd. Check out my recent newsletter, or let me know, reach out to my office if you need to get signed up to receive it. But there is emergency sewer work on Forest Hill Avenue between basically the Food Lion and the Target. It is headed east, and it is down to one lane in that space, so just plan accordingly. It should take about 4 to 6 weeks, but if there is an additional sewer issues underground, once they get in there, it might be extended. We will keep you posted. There is paving going on right now in the neighborhoods of Oxford and Stratford Hills, so things will be looking really nice there in a couple weeks. And we have made progress on the Jenk Road Improvement Project, where the piece of the project over the CSX tracks got approved by CSX, so that project is now in the pipeline and should be starting by the end of this calendar year. I heard from my colleague in the 5th that the bike race got postponed yesterday, which because of the rain, I'm not surprised, so we'll look forward to that on the rain date. And Act quickly if you would like to get your application in for the vacant 4th District School Board seat. The applications are due on Tuesday, April 30th, which only gives you 8 days to pull it all together. And that would be for an appointment, and then the election would be later this year. If you need to reach me or my liaison, our office number is 804-646-5646. It's myself or Timmy Seibert. And you can email us at kristen.nye@rva.gov or timmy.seibert@rva.gov. Thank you so much. I'm going to give one last reminder to council members about the amendments. We only have two more budget work sessions, and so those will be focused on amendments. And so we really need folks' amendments in by this Wednesday. Please reach out to Chief of Staff if you are having any challenges in pulling that together. And she has folks on call waiting to help out. Thank you, everybody, who helped us get through this marathon of a day. Appreciate administration, the clerk, chief of staff, attorneys, all hands on deck. And have a great night. This meeting's adjourned.